Are you ready for some meatball?
It is all but over. There are 7 games left, but the Cubs' 2019 season is effectively over. They just got swept. 4 games swept by the St. Louis Cardinals at Wrigley. And to make matters worse, each loss was by 1 run. And to make matters even worse, 3 of those 4 games were lost in the 9th inning or 10th inning. So, the last inning. It's really amazing. Even my Cardinal fan friends are shocked that they swept the Cubs 4 games in Wrigley. Are the Cardinals better? Well, yeah. I mean, their record, yeah, they are better. But on paper, are they better? No. They're not. In fact, you can't convince me that just comparing rosters, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Astros, on paper, are 20 wins better than the Cubs. These Cubs magnificently underachieved. It's amazing. They have a run differential over 100. For this season. They set a team record for home runs, but they can't seem to hit runners over in scoring position. Now, I know this is a problem that's even in 2016, they were not one of the better teams at runners in scoring position. So, but they won the World Series that year. So, now the task is, what the heck? Like, how did this happen? How did a team with so much talent on paper just completely collapse? Worse than last year's. And last year you could argue, well, the Brewers just got red hot. And they did. And they passed the Cubs to win the division. But even 2017, the Cubs just kind of limped into the postseason. Beat the Nationals in the NLDS, but then just got destroyed by the Dodgers in the NLCS. And each season, after 2016, each season, they just got knocked down a rung each year. So 2016, they win it all. 2017, lose the NLCS. 2018, we'll lose the wild card. And now this year, barring a miracle, they won't even make the playoffs. I think I saw their chances are at 9% to make the playoffs. So, I want to get into a little Cubs in this edition of the Meatball Composer. Also want to talk some Bears Redskins. They're on Monday Night Football. And I'll have some pregame preview thoughts for that. This show might come out after that game's over, but not sure. So, just have to see. So let's get into it with the Cubs. A little post-mortem of the 2019 Chicago Cubs. I'm going to wax eloquent about the Cubs for a few minutes here. Because there's a lot of stuff swimming around in my head. Now, I did pick them to win the 2019 World Series, yes. Probably a little homerism involved in that, but it just seemed like, okay, they got this all straightened out, and no more, quote, World Series fatigue, end quote, and everyone's healthy, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Cubs should take back the NL Central, convincingly. And, as we know, it didn't happen. And one of my friends put it best, one of my Cardinal fan friends actually put it best, that with the Cubs, the whole is less than the parts. And I absolutely agree. You look on paper, the Cubs should be in the mid-90s wins upper 90s wins, not the mid 80s. It looks like they're going to finish. Well, that's assuming they win. If they win three of their last six, they'll have 85 wins. Whoopee. So, you know, the Cubs started off slow at the beginning. First couple series. But then in April, they took off. They jumped out in front in the Central. And then from, like, May on, they pretty much have played 500 ball. Actually, probably less than that now with this six-game losing streak. The six-game losing streak down the stretch. All at Wrigley, by the way. But we'll get to that later. So what happened? There's lots of theories, lots of ideas. But because the Cubs have just underperformed since 2016... I'm looking at Joe Maddon, and I know you can't say anything negative about him because he's the guy who was in charge when the drought ended, when the 108-year drought was ended. So, you know, Joe Maddon, the whole trust in Joe hashtag, he's become the Mike Ditka of Chicago baseball. And whatever he did for the clubhouse, 2015, 2016, obviously it worked. The players loved him, got behind him. But it doesn't seem like the younger players grew or have grown in his tenure as Cubs manager. And, you know, Chris Bryant came into the majors with an unbelievable splash, right? Rookie of the year, then MVP. That's a lot to live up to after that. But he's still a career 900 OPS guy. He's hit more home runs in 5 years than any Cub ever. But more on Chris Bryant in a minute here. But even some of the other players, well, Addison Russell has not come close to his 2016 numbers. And you know, he's got other stuff going on, and he would be a guy that I wouldn't mind if was gone next season. But the younger players too, like Ian Happ, Albert Almora. I think Joe stunted their growth and has killed their confidence, especially Almora. Because Almora has the talent to be a perennial gold glove center fielder. But he hits singles. He's not a big bat guy. He's not going to have an 800 OPS hitting big home runs. But, you know, sometimes singles are good. Sometimes, you know, how many times runner on second, runner on third, Cubs just need a single and, oh, strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. Because we have all these big stick, high OPS potential batters on the team. So I think that Joe and how he used Almora and even how he used Happ to an extent really hurt their development. And Kyle Schwarber belongs in the American League, by the way, as a DH, but we'll see if that happens. But he kept getting chance after chance after chance. And does that come from Joe or does that come from Theo and Jed? Not really sure, hard to say, but it seems like the emphasis was put on, okay, who are these guys who have the ability or we see some potential to be big stick, home run hitting guys, and let's get them on the field. And, you know, from one extent that's okay, but that made the roster just so one-dimensional. It's like home run or bust. You know, it's okay to have a Ben Zobrist who's going to slap the ball down the line and get singles, maybe a double every once in a while. It happened this weekend. But, so I'd be curious to know, okay, is that a front office thing? Like, let's get these high OPS home run hitting guys, get them the priority, get them the at-bats. Or is that coming from Joe? I don't know. I would guess it's Joe. Because, and here's why, if you remember, before this season started, the management had instituted some new rules for Joe to follow about posting lineups for a series ahead of time. That way guys knew if they were going to play or not the next couple of games. I don't think the front office does that if they have full faith in the manager picking players for each game every day. That tells me that, you know what, Joe, you need a little more supervision here. And then, of course, the pitching staff, relief pitchers. Joe has been terrible at that. Even when they won the World Series, even Game 7 of the World Series, Joe's crazy use of the pitchers almost cost that game. And I know he gave an explanation and justified it, and it was good for some people. But no. You manage the game in front of you. You don't say, oh, well, I wanted to get Lester in, so I'm going to get him in now. And turn a 5-1 lead into 5-3 just because of a couple bad pitches. And, of course, how he used Chapman, of course. But it's all in the past. Cubs won the World Series. But it was close. And the manager, Joe, almost cost it for the Cubs that year. So, everyday lineups, relief pitching decisions. The fact that the front office did not want to extend Madden after this year, they wanted to see what would happen. That tells me that Theo and Jed were not convinced that Madden was the guy to take the team going forward. And I think they saw, even to a greater extent than what I'm talking about, the players just weren't getting better. And they should be. So much young talent on this roster, and it hasn't gotten to that next level. So what do you look at? You got to look at manager, right? You got to look at the coaches. They've tried different hitting coaches. Same result. So I expect that Madden will be gone, and there's already rumors that he'll go to Philly. And rumors that David Ross would come to be the next Cubs manager. Not sure how I feel about that. I know a lot of fans want Girardi, but they just want Girardi because he's Girardi and won a World Series with the Yankees. But we've never accused Chicago fans for being too smart about things like that. More about that in a minute, too, by the way. So I guess with my pontificating, my waxing eloquent here, I see new manager for the Cubs next year because the front office, Theo and Jed, they're going to want to see if it's their players or if it's the manager. And the best way to do that is to change one of those pieces out. So I'm expecting there won't be that many roster changes on the Cubs going into the 2020 season. That it'll just be a change at skipper. Maybe trading one of the younger guys on the team, like a Hap, something like that, or one of the other younger infielders. I could see something like that, but I don't see trading any of, like, Baez, Bryant, Rizzo, any of those, Wilson, Contreras. I don't see that happening because I think Theo and Jed want to see if it's their players or not. So I think the biggest change is going to be manager. And I'm not saying that other trades or anything won't happen. I just won't be surprised if that's it for this year. Just to find out what is really going on with why the 2016 team hasn't improved or developed any since. Some more Chris Bryant thoughts in just a second. So Cub fans are mad, and rightfully so. This season did not end as we hoped, or frankly, as it should. So I'm upset, I'm disappointed. Other Cubs fans upset, disappointed. Yes, absolutely, we should be. But now, unfortunately, we're at that point where Chicago fans do what they're most known for, and that is really bad hot takes and really bad analysis. And I'm talking specifically about all the Cubs fans I've heard and seen saying, we've got to trade Chris Bryant. And I cannot for the life of me figure out why. This is the best player the Cubs have had in a generation. Now, I know you're thinking, some people may be thinking, wait a minute, whoa, that's a bigger statement. Yeah, tell me who's better in the last 30 years than Chris Bryant. Let me add a caveat to that. Tell me a Cubs player that didn't use performance-enhancing drugs that has been better than Chris Bryant. And just in my lifetime, he's the best Cub since Ryan Sandberg. And he's on pace to have a better career than Sandberg, statistically speaking. And this season, Bryant passed Ernie Banks. Ernie, Mr. Cub, Let's Play 2, beloved Banks, for most home runs by a Cubs player their first 5 years in the league. Passed Ernie Banks. He's on pace to hit more home runs than Ernie Banks. This is a 500 home run hitter here we're talking about. And he's been in the league a couple years. He's got Rookie of the Year, MVP. He'll always be in that MVP mix or discussion. He's got a career OPS of 900. When healthy, he's going to give you 30 home runs at least, like this year. So I honestly don't know why Cubs fans are saying, oh, we got to trade Chris Bryant. I don't get it. It makes no sense. I know some people think, well, we could get prospects for him. Okay. Yeah, and that's a standard thing. You trade players. You trade good, solid players for prospects. That's what you do. But Chris Bryant is more than a good player. He's more than a great player. He is the franchise player on the team. Now, he's not like the face or the leader. That's probably going to be Rizzo. That's fine. He's good for that. But I'd love to have both of those for the next, both of those guys for the next 10 years on the Cubs. So I'm trying to figure out why do so many Cubs fans want to trade Chris Bryant? Here's my theory. I could be wrong, but I'm usually right about everything. So here's what I think it is. Bryant wins Rookie of the Year, his rookie year. The next year, he wins MVP, and the Cubs win the World Series. And in the last three seasons, he has not won MVP. The Cubs have not won the World Series. So Cubs fans see that as, well, Chris Bryant's not as good as he used to be. Or he peaked. He's not good anymore. We should trade him and get what we can for him. So by being so good right out of the gate, Rookie of the Year and MVP, Chris Bryant set himself up for failure among Cubs fans. Because you're not going to win MVP every year. How many players have won it back-to-back even? How many players have won more than one MVP? Rhino won one. Sosa won one. Ernie Banks won two, I believe, back in the 50s. So it seems to me that because Chris Bryant had such a marvelous start to his career, that anytime he doesn't win something, and he was an all-star this year for pity's sake too, but if he doesn't win some award or the Cubs don't win a World Series, they see Chris Bryant as having a bad year. And like this year, he's hitting, I think currently like 903 OPS right now. His batting average is like 282, something like that. 31 home runs. I mean, and that's not good? I mean, no, it's not what he was doing his MVP year. I think his OPS is higher than his MVP year, actually. Or maybe about the same. But that's not good enough because he's been MVP before. And if he's not going to win MVP every year, then he must not be as good as he used to be. But think about it. His career numbers right now, if he keeps them up, he will be in the Hall of Fame. But we got to trade him because we need prospects. I don't get it. I don't understand why you would trade someone who's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. I don't get it. But I guess that's the Cubs fans' reaction. I don't know. I don't understand. And I've also seen, oh, well, you can't trade Baez. Well, why? Javi Baez is not as good as Chris Bryant, at least offensively. Sure, Javi's a more exciting defensive player, and he's fun to watch on the bases and everything. But he's not a better ball player than Chris Bryant. So I don't understand the, we can't touch Javi. He's got to stay. Well, but let's trade Chris Bryant, the guy who's won MVP and Rookie of the Year and on this Hall of Fame trajectory. I don't understand it. But I do know that Chicago fans are not very good at analyzing players or teams or having rational, thought-out arguments to what they believe. Case in point, put in McGowan. All right, Bears-Redskins in a second. The Chicago Bears take on the Washington Redskins on Monday Night Football. So the Bears have not gotten off to the start that we had hoped or wanted. The defense has lived up to the expectations. They are the the fun side of the ball to watch. But the offense has just not what we thought. Not what we were sold in the offseason. And frankly, not what we expected from where they left off last season. So the offense needs to get it together, because at this point, week three in the NFL, they have no passing touchdowns. They're the only team whose quarterback does not have a quarterback that's thrown a touchdown pass. And as long as you're winning, I mean, that's fine. I don't care. But this is the quarterback that we were told is the franchise quarterback. So it's a little troubling that Mitch has struggled first two games of the year. But all that could change tomorrow night. Washington is not good. It's a great opportunity for the Bears offense to finally look like they know what they're doing, put some good drives together, and get the passing game open, maybe open things up a little bit, maybe just let Mitch play, you know? Hopefully they'll just let him ball out there, not try to squeeze him into some kind of system. I'm watching Chiefs, and granted these are highlights, but I'm watching Chiefs highlights and Seattle Seahawks, and I see guys that are athletic, like Mitch, and, you know, something doesn't look open right away, they move around, make something happen. Mitch can do that. And I think he's just got to get out of his own way. And I'm not the only person saying that by any means. I think that's a pretty common idea out there, that Mitch is overthinking. And when he overthinks, it slows everything down for him. It definitely seems like that's what's happening during the game. So hopefully see a little bit of progress in that direction with the offense. Defense, I expect to be just great, just fine. I'm predicting Bears 24, Redskins 12. I tweeted that out a couple days ago, and I see no reason to change that pick. So I do think the offense gets things going better. I don't think all of a sudden they're going to look like the Chiefs. No, that's not going to happen. But they'll look better. Unfortunately, Mitch is in kind of a lose-lose situation, because if he doesn't look better, then people are going to keep hammering him. Oh, he's a bust. He's no good. Blah, 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 blah. But if he does have a good game, it'll be like the Tampa game last year. Well, yeah, he threw six touchdowns, but Tampa's bad. Blah, blah. So Mitch is, unfortunately, it's going to be a few more weeks before fans and media start to back off if he plays consistently well. Because he could throw four touchdowns tomorrow night against the Redskins, and people will say, well, yeah, it was the Redskins, though. He should have done that. So, can't put any Mitch concerns to rest this week. It'll be better if he does well. If there's still no touchdowns, and he's only throwing like 150 yards, and just not click overthrowing receivers, missing wide open receivers, then there's going to be cause for concern. But I don't think Mitch can get rid of all the doubters by t- tomorrow night's game playing well. Yeah. But I do think the Bears win. I think they win. I don't think it's going to be a close game. Like 12 points. Bears will win by 12. I don't see that as a close game. But hopefully they'll take care of business like they should against Washington. And they got to win because everyone else in the NFC North won today. Packers, Vikings, Lions, they all won. Bears have to win just to keep pace. And it sure looks like this division could be interesting, unfortunately. I was hoping the Bears could run away with it, but yeah. Looks like it might be more of a fight, but maybe that'll be more fun in the end when the Bears do take care of business eventually. Hopefully. Nah, I don't doubt. Well, maybe a little. Bears.
The Bears. You've been meatballed.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Meatball Composer. I'll have some Bears-Redskins post-game thoughts in a couple days. Hopefully they are 2-1, putting some doubts to rest, and back on the track that we had hoped, that we Bears fans had hoped, was toward another division title and a postseason run. You can email me at themeatballcomposer@mail.com or find me on Twitter at meatballcomp34. I'd love to hear from you. Critiques, analysis, advice, anything like that would be welcome. So until next time, bear down, my friends.